Your Financial Choices may discuss various financial-related topics and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA. We inform you that any federal tax, state tax, financial advice, or information contained in this communication is not intended to be personalized or specific in nature, or to be relied upon for your personal situation in any circumstance. The advice and information are not intended and cannot be used as a tax opinion letter, nor used for the purpose of avoiding tax-related penalties. For personalized advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I'm a CPA, CFP, and AEP on the web at yourfinancialchoices.com, and you can listen online each and every week at wdiy.org. Today is March 22nd, 2017. The markets were mixed today, the Dow closing down slightly at 20,661, the NASDAQ up at 5821, and the S&P up at 2348. We're talking tonight about financial considerations for college students. We are live tonight. Ordinarily, we would take your questions. We're having a couple phone difficulties, which we are trying to work on right now. But I do have a guest this evening, so we are going to be talking with him shortly. We do discuss general financial planning topics and not specific investments. And while I typically have a topic each week, you can still ask questions off topic. I'll do my best to answer them. If you can't reach us through the phone lines this evening, you can always send questions through email at yourfinancialchoices.com. My guest this evening is Justin Cohen. He's a student at Temple University, where he's a senior and finance major. Justin reached out to us several weeks ago and was interested in doing some volunteering for the show. He indicated that he was a listener. I was quite impressed with his initiative and was thrilled to hear that a college student was interested in the show. And I do know that there are other college students who listen to the show because they've called in with questions, which I'm very impressed with. So anyway, I had a great idea of doing a show on the financial considerations of a college student and enlisted Justin to help by surveying his fellow students. So we are going to take some time talking about that. And if we have time and get those phones fixed, I had another guest who was going to call in to talk a little bit about what other recent graduates have been up to as well on the philanthropic side of things. So if we get the phones going, we'll talk about that. Otherwise, we'll bring him back on another show. So, Justin, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Lori.
I appreciate you coming on. Tell me a little bit about you, where you're from, and what got you interested in finance and listening to your financial choices.
Okay, so yeah, I'm from the Lehigh Valley originally. I grew up here, and I am a fan of WDIY, and it just so happened one night I stumbled across your show, and there isn't really much out there on public radio about finance or financial choices or long-term financial planning, so I found it pretty interesting. And I'm a finance major, as you said before, and I guess what made me interested in finance was when I was younger, my grandfather, he always used to watch CNBC, and that was one thing, like everything else that was discussed or watched in the family home, I kind of understood, but that was one thing that just seemed a little bit...
It spoke to you.
Yeah, it spoke to me, and I was curious about it because there was just so much information, and it was just hard to take it all in.
Did you think it was a way you connected with your grandfather as well?
Kind of, yeah, because he would always watch it whenever I was over.
Yeah, so that's interesting, and that's actually quite a good point to make as well, that for grandparents who are out there who listen to the show, if you hadn't thought about this in the past, that is a good way to connect and also pass down their knowledge of financial choices that they have may have had through their lifetime. So that's a great point. I'm so glad you mentioned that. So when you started coming in and you were listening, you're kind of participating a little bit with us, checking the markets and things like that, we were talking about about college students being interested in their own financial choices. So we had this idea, we brainstormed and thought, wouldn't this be a good idea for a show? So one of the things you were going to do was do this survey. So can you tell me what you did for that?
Sure. So I came up with a list of questions that I thought would be relevant to all college students. I interviewed a variety of different students, and the majority of them were in the business school. However, I did interview a few that had outside majors. One of them, I think, was marketing, one was sociology, and one was a geology major.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's answers differed a little bit, but the one main common theme that I thought was quite interesting was that college students would like to be a little bit more involved in their financial future. And from the majority of them, they said that college wasn't necessarily planning for their own future. I mean, it was planning them to enter the workforce, but it wasn't really managing them to manage their own financial futures.
So that's interesting. So you kind of gave them some questions, and then did that kind of conversation come up about where they kind of had this epiphany, like, well, yeah, college is preparing us for our careers, and that career might be analyzing numbers, mm-hmm. right, in finance, or looking at how you do marketing plans, but not how they plan for themselves, meaning balancing a checkbook or investing or saving for retirement, that kind of thing?
Exactly, yeah. And as the interview went along, when I first started interviewing the students, they were kind of taken off guard because I guess they don't really have nobody really approaches you and asks you maybe these type of personal questions. But as it went on, they kind of, you could see it just kind of sparked the imagination and made both them and I think about all of these things that I had brought up to them, because a lot of these things, they're not really talked about and they just happen, you know, like, especially for example, college loans. It's not like they're really talked about much. It's a necessity. It needs to be done. So a lot of college students, including myself, they just take out student loans knowing that this is what I need to do in order to pay for college, but they don't really think about, you know, the long-term ramifications or exactly what goes into those student loans.
So you had mentioned that you used to watch CNBC with your grandfather, and you may have had opportunities to get financial advice from him. Did you ask the students if they ever had received financial advice from their parents?
Yeah, that was one of the questions on the survey. And actually, most of the students said that they had received some sort of financial advice from either a grandparent, a parent, somebody in the family. And a lot of it was just related to regular life expenses. One of the students said to their parents told them to never lease a car, always buy it. Another parent told their child to take out a 15-year mortgage as opposed to a 30-year mortgage. So it was just kind of like very specific details on large life purchases. And I found that to be a common theme with the pieces of financial advice that were passed down from their parents.
Mm-hmm. What we're going to do tonight, folks, is talk a little bit more about that survey that Justin did, about some of the specific questions that he asked as well. I want to stress the importance of getting involved in your financial choices, no matter what age you are. I was very impressed that Justin, as a college student, was interested, but this applies at any age. And there's no right time to start or get started if you haven't already. That could be as a young student. It could be if you're in your 60s and really hadn't been paying attention to your financial life up to this point. It's always a good time to get started. So maybe it takes someone asking you those questions. And maybe you need to ask yourself those questions. What am I doing about my financial life? What am I doing about these loans we have? Folks, we're getting ready to take our first break, and we will be back in just a minute. And Jeff, could you play a little bit of a longer break for me?
Sure,
okay, and we'll be back in just a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Do you have a car that you're trading in? How about an old truck or boat that's taking up space? Let WDIY help you get rid of unwanted vehicles and turn them into financial support for the station. It's a simple and easy process. We handle all the towing, title, and transfer, and you receive a tax deduction. Turn your vehicle into the programs you love on WDIY. To learn more, visit WDIY.org or call 610-694-8100, extension 7.
Okay, and welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. I have in the studio with me this evening Justin Cohen, a senior finance major at Temple University, and we're discussing a survey he had done with college students. But I did want to take a brief moment to introduce a guest that I have on my cell phone, so excuse it if it doesn't sound as clear as usual. But I wanted to emphasize how involved young people are. I'm very impressed with Justin for being involved. And recently, I had the opportunity to meet a young man who is very involved in the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. And I would like to hear his story this evening. Please welcome via telephone Luke Jandel. Luke, can we hear you?
Yes, I can hear you quite well.
Okay, good. How are you?
Great. Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, thanks for being on. So, interestingly, Justin had a interest in the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. So I thought when I heard that you were helping in that endeavor as well, and then also your involvement with the Thon at Penn State, I thought it would be a great mashup tonight to have you jump on and talk a little bit about what you're doing. So do you want to tell the folks a little bit about how you got involved with this philanthropy?
Yes. Well, you know, I really appreciate that, and thank you for the time. So it really started, most of my endeavors that I do today stem back to when I was a younger man, about 10, 11 years old. My mother was actually diagnosed with skin cancer, and she went through a lot, and that had a big impact on my life. Of course, you know, she persevered and survived, but the strength and opportunity that she went through kind of drove me today and all the endeavors that I've taken. You know, specifically, you mentioned Thon, Penn State. I'm a Penn State grad, graduated in 2013, and heavily involved. It's the largest student-run philanthropic organization in the world. I started getting involved in that my freshman year at Penn State, and you know, through my senior year, had the opportunity, they call it dancing. It's a 46-hour, no sitting, no sleeping marathon. And every year, 15,000 students at Penn State organize this. And my senior year, I was fortunate enough to raise enough funds to dance, and about $22,000 with the help of family and friends. And it was quite the opportunity. And, you know, meeting the people, hearing the stories, it just touches your heart. And, you know, since working full-time for my father in our business, we farm, our primary business is turkey farming. We're located in Allentown, Pennsylvania. And my father has always been a, you know, a staple and a, you know, admirer of myself. I've always looked up to him. He's always had that same type of passion that I have, and I kind of admire myself after him. But, you know, of recent, Pam of LLS, Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, reached out to me and heard of what we've done in the past. And, you know, it's a 10-week program that they have starting this Friday. And I coordinate a team that I have, about 14 team members that I have, some family, some friends, some colleagues in my, you know, my business ventures. And they're all working together for me at this point, raising dollars over the next 10 weeks, raise as much money as he can, you know, for this great cause. There's 60 different sectors across the country, and one being here in Eastern PA.
Oh, Luke, wait. So the Leukemia Lymphoma Society has this special fundraising event. Now, if I recall, I think you said it's the Man and Woman of the Year. So you just said there's sectors across the country. Is this, and we have one here locally? Is it this particular fundraiser?
Yeah, that's correct. There's all across the country. This same type of program occurs in Los Angeles, occurs in Philadelphia, Miami. 10 women, 10 men nominated in the community, through their relationships, kind of put it on a platform and expose this program the best we can through the relationships we have. So it's a matter of, raising the dollars and giving back.
Okay, so Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, and it's a fundraiser. And so what it is you're putting yourself out there as Man of the Year. And if we think, gosh, Luke would be a great Man of the Year, we donate. And then that's raising money for the Leukemia Lymphoma Society. Luke, do you know, do the dollars that you raise through your fundraising page, do they stay local, or does that go to the national organization?
Yeah, it's filtered through the national organization, but it's restructured and then repositioned at a national level out of New York back to the Lehigh Valley. Pam handles Eastern PA, and she facilitates all those dollars back to this community.
Okay, that's wonderful. So there is a website for this Leukemia Lymphoma Society Man and Woman of the Year, and that page is M as in man, W as in woman, O for of, and Y for year, M-W-O-Y, and that's because it's a nonprofit, it's a .org. So that's M-W-O-Y.org. And how do people find your page, Luke, if people want to support you in particular?
Yeah, so just go to that page as you recommended. Go to Pages in the Dropbox and then find Lehigh Valley Eastern PA, and I'm one of the 20 nominees that you'll find there.
Okay, so there's other nominees for the Eastern Pennsylvania as well?
That is correct. Okay. Total of 10 men and 10 women.
So we have a little competition, Luke.
competition always drives additional dollars, and it all goes back to the right place. So that's what we're all about.
Absolutely, and regular listeners of WDIY know I'm quite competitive, especially during fundraising week at WDIY. I'm an advocate for nonprofits. I'm an advocate for fundraising. And interestingly, as I said, Justin Cohen, my guest this evening, was also an advocate for Leukemia Lymphoma Society. Many of us have people who are touched by this, and we really applaud your efforts and your efforts with the Thon as well. But this latest endeavor, we really support you and hope that you have the support of people in the Lehigh Valley. So let me repeat that. Luke Jandel is up for man or woman, we'll say man of the year, for the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. And you can find more ways and information about supporting Luke on mwoy.org. Go to Pages and search for Eastern Pennsylvania and Luke Jandel. Luke, thanks so much for being on the show with us tonight. I really appreciate you taking the time. And again, I applaud your efforts and thank you and your family for your philanthropic endeavors in the community. We know that your dad was very involved in getting Miracle League going as well, and that has been quite a successful endeavor. So I'm really proud of you being competitive with your father and being philanthropic as well.
Well, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate this. And again, I thank you, and best of luck.
Okay. Thanks, Luke. Have a good night. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Folks, you're listening tonight to Your Financial Choices. We are talking about ways college students can get involved and how we can learn more about our own financial choices. And those financial choices don't just include what we're doing for ourselves. It also includes what we're doing for others. And that includes those philanthropic endeavors that we see many of our young people get involved in. And when you can be financially successful, you can help others as well. Folks, the phones aren't working tonight. I apologize, so you can't call in, but you can certainly email questions to yourfinancialchoices.com. We had Luke on through my cell phone, and I appreciate him calling in and talking with us tonight. But if you have questions, yourfinancialchoices.com. And next week, I will certainly earmark off some time for questions as well. But we'll continue our discussion with Justin on the survey of college students as soon as we get back. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
American folk music offers a variegated pattern of performers and styles. I'm Tom Druckenmiller, your host for In the Tradition. Together, we'll trace the roots and branches of American folk music from the earliest recordings and performers through today's talented players. In the Tradition, Wednesday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. on WDIY 88.1 FM and WDIY.org. WDIY, Lehigh Valley's community NPR station.
And welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. And we have with us this evening Justin Cohen, a senior and finance major at Temple University. And Justin has been kind of visiting the show and helping out for the past several weeks, I would say. And we decided to come up with an idea for a show where Justin did a survey of college students, came up with a list of questions, randomly asked a bunch of kids. Some he probably was in class with, some he knew, some he probably didn't know, and kind of did a study. I also want to thank Luke Jandel for just calling in and talking about his endeavors as well on fundraising for the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. And again, that website was MWOY.org, and then you look for Pages and Eastern Pennsylvania and Luke Jandel to support him and the Leukemia Lymphoma Society. So I just feel great about young people. I love young people, and I just think it's wonderful to feed off that energy and all that they do. Justin, you obviously had interest in learning more about financial planning, and hence why we're here today. So I thought it was really fun that you did this survey. So let's talk a little bit about not just, I mean, I guess we could talk about some of the other observations you might have had, but we also want to talk about some of the questions that you asked them. So what kind of questions did you ask?
So the questions that I asked just kind of digged a little bit deeper into the things that are going on in their lives financially related. Now, the answers that I got, while different, were similar in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
So the majority of the students that I spoke with are in tune with financial matters in their life somehow, but are still seeking more education. Now, when I say they're in tune, obviously they're going to class, they're studying, so that's finance-related stuff. But outside of that, they're reading, like, the Wall Street Journal. They're
really
watching CNBC.
Wow.
We have a few Bloomberg terminals at Temple. People are using those. We have this application called FactSet that we have access to. So students,
I get their email every morning.
Exactly. So students are doing stuff outside of the realm of just what's in the class activities. And a lot of them do feel that they would receive some more education about financial planning. They understand that the concepts, but not the applications, as to how to plan for a successful future. So a lot of the students that I interviewed talked about how they teach us what goes in the financial world,
mm-hmm.
Talking about money, time value of money, but not necessarily the real world, like paying your bills. And for a lot of the college students, the things that were going on in their lives right now was just kind of paying their credit cards, paying their car loans, paying off some of their student loans if they have to be paid off. And a lot of these things are being overlooked.
It's almost like they're reacting. So mm-hmm. at the end of every show, I say be proactive, not reactive. Mm-hmm. But it almost sounds like what you're saying is what you learn from them is, you know, they have a bill, they paid the bill. But they're not thinking about it in how it fits into their whole financial picture necessarily. Mm-hmm. Right?
Exactly. Yes. A lot of the students, they have some sort of job that they're working or some sort of income while they're going to school. But it's just mainly like, okay, I'm making this money right now just so I can pay for my rent, pay for my car bill, pay for my credit cards. It's not necessarily thinking about it in a longer term. And a lot of the students, they just kind of want to be educated and they want to know exactly what options are out there for them with this money that they make, and kind of they want it to be more impactful in their lives for, you know, the next 5 or 10 years as opposed to just for their college career.
Mm-hmm. So you got a sense that they were that they were interested in knowing more. So, you know, one of the things I say to people, the most important question is the one you don't know to ask. If folks could kind of embrace that for a second. So the most important question is sometimes the ones you don't know to ask. So I'm kind of getting a sense, maybe from what you're telling me, that college students are open to it. They are willing to listen. They want to learn, but they're not learning it in college necessarily, you know, other than how to do what their career has set them up to do. You know, they're learning those kinds of skills, but not how to do financial planning for themselves. So they're interested. I suppose they must be getting some of that if they're reading the Wall Street Journal or watching CNBC. So at this point, maybe in their lives, it could be, you know, their data gathering. So sometimes people have to kind of read about it, learn about it, and then realize later what might apply or might not apply. But it kind of gives me a sense that we should probably have more programs, college programs, where they are teaching more about, you know, the financial planning. What do they expect when you come out of school as far as the student loans? One of the things that happens with student loans that a lot of people don't realize is the rules are really complicated for when you pay off a student loan or you're paying down a student loan and there's an interest deduction. And so some people will say, oh, I had student loan interest, I can take a deduction on my tax return. But that's not necessarily so. And some students might not realize that, and some parents might not realize that. In order for you to take a deduction on the tax return, you can't be a dependent on anyone else's tax return. So sometimes students come out of school, they might not have a job, they might still be a dependent on their parents' tax return. But if that student loan is theirs, then, and they're a dependent on their parents' return, then they can't take the deduction because they're a dependent on their parents' return. It's their loan, they can't take it. Now, the parents have this child as their dependent, but it's not the parents' loan. So guess what? The parent can't take the deduction either. You can only take the student loan deduction if it's for yourself and you own the loan. Now, a parent might be the signer on the loan. Then the parent could take the deduction for the student loan. So I'm kind of going off on a tangent here, but I'm just trying to explain that there are so many concepts that affect college students and their families in this case that no one has explained to them. The other thing that they might not understand about student loans, and we might talk about this in a little bit as we go through the rest of some of the questions that you asked, is sometimes the kids don't even know what kind of student loans they have, whether they're subsidized or unsubsidized. So we can talk about that in a minute as well. Folks, you're listening to Your Financial Choices tonight. We are live, but the phones aren't working, so I can't invite you to call in tonight. But I can let you know that if you have questions or you were waiting to ask a tax question tonight or have a question about what Justin and I are talking about, or if you're a college student, I would love to hear from you if you're a college student. Email is available through the website yourfinancialchoices.com. So yourfinancialchoices.com. And if you did have questions or do have questions and you want to send them through the website, what I can do is follow up with you, but then I could also read those next week on air. And we could, hopefully the phones will be working next week as well, and answer your question. All right. So we are talking about financial considerations for college students, and we will be back in just a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
And you are listening to WDIY, Lehigh Valley's community NPR station, your source for NPR news, public affairs, and a great mix of hand-picked music. Lehigh Valley weather, current conditions, 33 degrees under fair skies. Tonight, clear, lows around 13. Thursday, sunny with highs around 43. Friday, there's a 40% chance of a rain-snow mix with highs around 47 degrees. And Saturday, showers likely with highs around 70 degrees. The time now is 6:30 p.m. Now back to your financial choices with our host, Lori Siebert.
Thank you, Jeff. Welcome back, folks. We are talking with Justin Cohen, a senior in finance major at Temple University, who was interested in the financial world, an avid listener of WDIY, and happened to catch the show one night, Your Financial Choices, and realized, hey, there's not a lot of other programs out there like this. So you can listen any other time as well, folks, and tell your friends. We have podcasts available at wdiy.org. And if you are ever having those conversations where someone says something about, well, I don't know about a will, I don't know about taxes, I don't know about this, lots of topics are available at wdiy.org. You just go to that website, look for, I believe it's a local programming, I forgot the link, but you can figure it out, local programming, and then you'll see Your Financial Choices, and you can search for topics. So, Justin, welcome back to the show. We have been talking about the survey that you did. Can we talk about some of the questions you asked? Were there specific questions that you asked them?
Absolutely. There was quite a few questions that I asked them. However, there was a few of them that I thought sparked the most interest from the students and made them think. The first question was, are you or your parents using student loans, and do you know what type of terms exist? The second question was, do you work and with that income, are you able to save money, or does it go towards education and living expenses? Mm-hmm. The third question was, at what age do you plan on buying your own house and why?
Interesting.
The fourth question was, do you think it's crazy to start saving for retirement at this age? And the fifth question was, do you consider yourself to be in debt?
Interesting. So let's talk about the first question then. So what did you learn about the student loans? So you asked if they or their parents had student loans or were using student loans. What did you learn?
So every student that I spoke with, either themselves or their parent had taken out a student loan in order to pay for their college education. Some of the students only had to take out federal loans through FAFSA, mm-hmm. and with those loans, the interest rates were a lot lower. But there were some students that had to finance their whole college career through both federal and private loans, mm-hmm. and with those loans, they seemed to be a lot higher. I got the interest rates for all these student loans. For the federal, it was around 4%. And some of the students who took out private loans to pay for college were paying anywhere up to 11% in interest. But they didn't seem to mind it because that's what needed to be done in order to pay for their college education. The loan companies talk about the deferment period, and it puts in the students' minds at ease because they don't have to worry about it now. And they weren't sure if the rates were fixed or variable. So the one thing that the students were pretty aware of was the interest rates, because it's kind of a number that's attached with that loan that kind of sticks in their mind. They weren't too sure if it was a subsidized or an unsubsidized loan. They weren't really sure exactly what that meant. They knew one meant you start accruing interest right away. They knew one meant you don't start accruing until after graduation. They weren't sure which was which.
Right.
And then also they weren't sure exactly about the deferment period. How long is that after graduation? What are the consequences if I don't start paying it until that point? What will happen if I start paying it early? And so those were just some things that they were a little unsure about with that.
So it's interesting because I, to this day, still think it could be confusing about student loan interest and what does subsidized mean and unsubsidized. And I've been, you know, working in this field for quite a while. And I think it's, you know, trauma from when I was in college, because I was one of those people who had to take student loans. It's the same story that I had, too, that you just did what you had to do. And a lot of people might not realize that, that, you know, education is really that important, that it can make a difference in your career, in your future earning potential, in your future employment. So education is quite important. And many of us do just what we have to do. So if it means taking out loans from wherever, we kind of do. So what folks want to pay attention to, young people, parents, the difference between subsidized and unsubsidized. Subsidized means the government isn't going to charge you interest during your period of education. They will not accrue interest on your loan. That's the best kind of loan. So if I take out a loan for $10,000 and it's subsidized, when I graduate 4 years later and I have to start paying that back, that loan is $10,000, and only then does the interest start. An unsubsidized loan will accrue interest during college. So if it's 4%, that can already add up. By the time I graduate, I have not just the $10,000, I have the $10,000 plus the 4% interest each year accrued on top of the ongoing balance. So what many people don't realize is you actually can pay the interest while you're in college, because that might be a payment that you could afford. And then when you come out, you've at least not added to your debt that accrued interest. You kind of stay in front of it a little bit by paying the interest. One thing that I find, though, Justin, is that many people take out these loans and sometimes they do it all online. And, you know, unless you're getting a bill in the mail, you don't pay attention to it. Or if the student is the one who took the loan out, the parents don't know about it or didn't realize it. Maybe the parents would have been willing to help. For example, I know with my kids, I said, you know, I want them to have a little skin in the game. Well, then the parents lose track of the loan because you made the kid take the loan. And then you realize, my gosh, my child should have paid that loan off already. But instead, it might have accrued a lot of interest. So you really want to kind of have a file somehow to keep track of those things. And when we do everything electronically, it's a little harder to remind yourself to do it. So if you do have an electronic file of that information of your student loans, make sure you put a calendar reminder, I would say, on your phone or on your calendar to revisit that loan periodically. Or ask for the paper bills to come in the mail. Typically these days you can get a bill in the mail and still pay it online. So that would be another way to not lose track of it so much. So I hope just a little bit of information there about student loans helps folks who might be listening. Let's talk about the next survey question you had. Was that with the working and what are they doing with their income?
Yeah, the next question that I asked the students was, do you work, and with that income, are you able to save money, mm-hmm. or does it go towards education and living expenses? So the majority of the students that I spoke with say that the income that they're making right now, obviously it's not that much because they're full-time students. So that money basically just goes towards rent, paying off credit cards, paying off car loans, living expenses, anything associated with that. There was a few that were paid under the table, and mm-hmm. they thought that that was a great setup because they were getting paid more than some of the other students because taxes weren't being taken out. And also it was just very flexible with their school schedule. So they could pretty much work when they wanted to, and they got paid more than somebody who was scheduled with a job where taxes were taken out.
Well, let me talk about that for a minute, because I think that that's something that a lot of people don't realize, you know, the impact of that. But you do hear about it. And I know, you know, as a kid, I babysat, and that, frankly, was like under the table. Nowadays, they have things like household employee, so fancy. But one little cautionary tale about getting paid under the table. First of all, we're not supposed to do that. The IRS tells us we're not supposed to do that. We're supposed to declare that income. One thing that I think many young people might have been taken advantage of is sometimes there's employers who want to pay them under the table because the employer doesn't want to pay the payroll taxes on them. And payroll taxes aren't just our federal and state and local withholdings that we have to pay on income that we earn, but the payroll taxes are the Social Security taxes. So what are Social Security taxes? There's two paces to Social Security tax. It's on your W-2, if you have one, is the OASDI, the old age disability insurance kind of thing. And then what's the other one? Just the regular FICA. So part of the Social Security tax that we pay in as employees and that the employer pays in, we each pay the same amount. As an employee, I pay 7.65%. The employer pays 7.65%. That goes to two things. It goes to cover us for future hospital care when we're older and start collecting, getting Medicare and collecting Social Security and things like that. So it gives us some hospital coverage later in life, but it also is going to help pay for Social Security, which of course is not to fund our entire retirement when we're at retirement age, but we start building up credits. And those credits aren't going just toward that hospital insurance or toward Social Security when we retire. It's also going into a disability, income fund. So I want to let folks know, first of all, employers, if they are employing you as an employee and giving you direction, technically they should be, hiring you. But for someone who thinks they're getting a good deal by working under the table, they might want to actually kind of go legit and work and start paying into the Social Security system. In the event they ever become disabled, you have to have so many quarters in of working and having wages and things like that. So sometimes we talk about those questions you don't know to ask. They might not realize that. Also, if you are earning money and you have earned income that you report on a W-2, or if you're self-employed, so sometimes you'll do these jobs, someone is paying you, and that person who has hired you, they might think, oh, you're an independent contractor. There's rules against that too, but let's pretend you're just going to say, well, it is what it is. I'm going to report my earnings on as self-employment income. So you yourself can earn that money reported on Schedule C as self-employment income. You might have deductions for, travel, driving here or there, business expenses. But then with that self-employment income, while you do have self-employment tax on it, and, possibly federal tax. Again, Justin, you mentioned not everybody's making that much money. And a lot of times students will file tax returns and any federal withholding, they get it all back because they didn't make that much. So it's not necessarily federal withholding. Normally, Pennsylvania, we do pay tax. Local, we pay tax. So you might have this earned income. You could also possibly fund a retirement account. So I know you had said the students may or may not be thinking about retirement accounts, but if you have earned income, you could put money into something, my favorite account, a Roth IRA. So if you are 21, 22, and you made $3,000. It might not sound like a lot, but if your parents are helping you out with other expenses and you have this extra $3,000, you could put it into a Roth IRA. If you invest it and it grows, eventually it's income tax-free, those earnings and that growth. And if you ever need it, you could always take out your original contribution. So when you're young and not paying a lot of taxes, it's a great time to fund Roth IRAs if you have some money. The other thing I would add is make sure you learn to save early. So Justin, back to kind of, students wanting to learn more and know more and get informed. A rule of thumb is just always save 10% of whatever you make. If you get into a habit of doing that when you're young, 10%, 10%, 10%, I mean, you'll be set. You'll really be set if it's a very good habit and eventually your money starts to make money for you. And then when you're older, you don't have to work quite as hard because your money's working for you. Folks, we're taking our last break. The show's gone very, very fast. And I'm looking forward to hearing some more of the survey of results that Justin had and how interested our young adults are in learning more about their financial choices and financial considerations they have in their own life. And I'm anxious to hear at the end of all of this if Justin thought this was a worthwhile endeavor and what he learned from it. So we will be back in just a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Spread the word about your business or organization to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR News and locally produced programs reaches thousands of engaged listeners in the Lehigh Valley and beyond. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable and effective way to provide information about your product and services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, 610-694-8100, extension 6, or WDIY.org.
Welcome back to the show. This show is Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. I have with me this evening Justin Cohen, senior and finance major at Temple University. Justin did a survey of a small group of college students to ask about, you know, what they know about financial considerations and ask several questions. And one of them was working and what are they doing with that income? So, Justin, do you think they're saving any of it?
So, the students that I spoke with, I mean, a lot of them do have some sort of a savings account. And mm-hmm. like you said, they may put a percentage of the pay that they get into that. But very few of them have some sort of long-term savings account set up. One of the students that I spoke with said he had a 401k set up through his employer.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the thing that I gained from asking these students this question was just if it's going to be set up for you as opposed to you having to go out and do it yourself. It's a lot easier to just get money taken out automatically from your paycheck as opposed to having to set aside $100 or $150 every week and maybe put it into a mutual fund or put it into a Roth IRA or something like that. So they are saving, but it's a savings account. It's no real anything else other than that.
So it's better if it kind of happens automatically.
Exactly.
Yeah. And a lot of times people think we only do that automatic kind of saving through retirement accounts at work. But there are a lot of fund companies or custodians who actually can help you set up a systematic withdrawal from a bank account into an investment account, like with a Roth IRA. Some mm-hmm. people can do it monthly. So that would be a great thing to do to set up. So, and I was impressed to hear that there are college students who are actually working at companies who offer a 401k at this age. A lot of times they'll have restrictions on age or, you know, how long you have to work there, so many hours. So that is great. So not thinking necessarily, though, about the long term, as you said, though. What about Roth IRAs? Do they understand Roth IRAs or what that is?
So when I brought up the question about the IRAs and Roth IRAs, same thing. Students had heard of them, but they weren't exactly sure what the difference was. They just knew that one of them, the taxes were taken out before the money goes in. So that way, when you start pulling money out, you're not taxed on it. And then a lot of the students said they had heard some things that you don't get penalized. You can take out the money a little bit earlier with one, but they weren't sure which was which.
Now, do you understand Roth IRAs enough that you could fill them in?
I think the Roth IRA is the one that's a little bit more lenient. You can take the money out of
the original contributions.
And you're not taxed on the income when you take it out.
As long as it's a qualified distribution. So that's why I love Roth IRAs. You can put money into them. You don't get a deduction for it on your tax return, which is why they call that after-tax dollars. So I didn't get a deduction for it. Put $5,000 in that Roth IRA, invest it. Let's say in 5 years it's worth $6,000. and oops, I need some money for rent. If my original investment was five, I could take some of that five out without a penalty. What I can't touch is the income until I'm age 59 and a half, unless there's some other exception. But so if I can leave the income in there till at least age 59 and a half, then there is no income tax on the earnings or growth. So that's really cool. I mean, you might end up being these people's financial advisors. They're going to just think you know all that, right? What about buying a home? I thought that was really going out there. Because are you thinking in terms of that? To ask that question?
Yeah, well, I just know that a lot of, especially the students that I, just maybe my friends at college, they complain a lot about paying rent and just kind of, a few of them are thinking about, okay, after college, what am I going to do for my living situation? It just seems to be the consensus that a lot of students kind of look at maybe renting a property as, I don't want to say a waste of money, but you're not getting anything in the long run. You're just kind of putting money out on a monthly basis for a place to live, but it's not like it's actually yours and you can't resell it in 30 years after you, if you decide to move and get money for it. So that was the main quarrel with that. The students just kind of wanted to pay money for something that's actually going to be theirs. But I think the one thing that they weren't really sure about were all of the costs that were associated with buying a home and maybe some of the benefits tax-wise that came along with that.
Now, so you thought they might not be aware of it, but it sounds like you are aware of it then. Have you thought about this, or have you talked with your parents about it, or
I mean, I guess my parents, every year, you know, they have to pay their property taxes, and then I've kind of done some outside research and just seen a lot of foreclosure properties in the area strictly because they haven't paid their property taxes for the last 5 or 6 years, and now they're up to about $10,000 or $12,000. So I think that's one of the main concerns. The property taxes, and then also just the upkeep. You know, you can't just call your landlord and tell them, okay, we have this plumbing problem, or this air conditioning problem. Can you come and fix it? You have to do that. And then also just the renter's insurance. But I'm not positive about this, but I think there are some tax benefits
for
owning.
Right, because the real estate taxes can be a deduction. Certain people, if they make too much money, those deductions might not be as beneficial because there's something called an alternative minimum tax, but there could be a benefit for the real estate taxes that you pay, and there could be a benefit if you have to take out a mortgage and pay mortgage interest. So the interest on that loan on real estate on your property can be a deduction for you. So sometimes then what people will say, the after-tax cost of owning could be cheaper than renting. But I think it's an excellent, excellent point that you make about making sure you understand all the costs that are involved, because you're absolutely right. Some people might think, well, I'm renting for, you know, $800 a month. I could probably get some house, but it's not just the mortgage you're paying for. It's the real estate taxes. It's the interest on the note you have. It's the maintenance, the repairs, the homeowner's insurance. If you don't have enough money to put down on a property, there's something called, the name just slipped out of my mind. Insurance. There's some kind of mortgage insurance, PMI. So there's mortgage insurance if you don't put 20% down. So sometimes people don't understand that. So again, one of those lessons we want to learn is, you know, what questions don't we know to ask, and to go in with your eyes open and do your homework ahead of time. But if they're not teaching that in the school, where are they going to learn it? I guess maybe shows like Your Financial Choices. So let's talk a bit about one of your questions was, do you consider yourself in debt?
Absolutely. I don't want to say all of the students that I spoke with consider themselves to be in debt right now. I mean, all of them have student loans, so they're going to be in debt, but not all of them are paying off their student loans right now, so they're not necessarily thinking of it. But I would say the majority of students are, because they are full-time students. They do have some income, but it doesn't really, they don't make enough in order to pay for rent, pay for all of the bills that they incur on a monthly basis. And they are definitely in debt. I guess the main concern is to just pay off the like one of the girls that I spoke with, she said her main concern is just to pay off her monthly minimum on her credit cards, which is maybe $25 or $30. But there's $5,000 or $10,000 that she owes on the credit cards between school expenses and personal expenses. But as long as she doesn't default on her credit cards, that's kind of what that's okay with her. She doesn't necessarily want to pay everything off and improve her credit score, but she's just kind of focused on not defaulting on the credit card.
Right, and just doing the minimum amount. So, and you just mentioned several little things there about the credit score. They're not thinking about the credit score. That's something that young people don't realize, that if you did take up one of those offers that every college student gets, which is that credit card, and you run that up and you're not paying it off, it could affect your credit score. And what some people don't realize is if it affects your credit score, that could affect you getting an apartment, because they do credit checks. When you go to apply for an apartment, they can do a credit check on you. Sometimes employers will do credit checks on you, depending on where you're getting a job. So it's not just about, when you think about, are you in debt and student loans, it could be those credit cards as well, and really try to take control of that. The best thing is to try not to spend. And, you know, if you can't afford some of the expenses you have, if your parents are willing to let you stay home for college, there is nothing wrong with that. My son has decided next year, his junior year, he's going to stay home. He likes commuting. He likes driving. He's okay with that. And it's not too far of a ride for him. And it works for both of us. We're going to save a lot of money on the room and board. So, you know, people need to assess their own situation and think, am I getting out of control here? Like maybe that girl with the credit card, because if you only pay the minimum, she's never going to get ahead of it. Mm-hmm. Real quick, we have about 3 minutes, Justin. So tell me, what did you think about this survey? Number one, yourself, what you learned about it, and where do you think people can get some financial education? This isn't supposed to be a promo, though, by the way.
Absolutely. Going into this, I didn't really have many expectations. You know, I was interviewing a lot of students in the business school, so I thought that, okay, they should be in tune with most of the questions that I asked. What I found was a little bit different. They were kind of caught off guard when I, especially the ones that I didn't know, when I approached them and just started asking them these very personal questions. And it just made both them and I think. I think a lot of times, especially growing up, it's not really like in my household. Obviously, my grandfather used to watch stuff about finance, but it's not really talked about at the dinner table. You know, maybe sports or weather, just what's going on in your day is talked about. But when you're maybe in middle school or high school, and say there are some financial matters going on in your parents' life, they're not really going to bring them up to their children.
Yeah.
Because it's maybe, I don't know, maybe it's a little bit taboo. You just don't want to divulge all of your financial information with your children. So that was the main thing that I gained is just like the yearning to know more about these real life financial choices. And I know Temple does now offer a financial planning major. And I think that something like that would just be beneficial, or meeting with a financial advisor, or just listening to some sort of broadcast that strictly focuses on financial advising. Because I know a lot of the programs on like CNBC, they're not really based on financial advising. It's more just kind of like the equities market, the fixed income markets, the commodity stuff like that.
And so, sometimes it's hype.
Yeah,
too.
Exactly. It's the media.
Yeah.
So I just think maybe those are a few things that could benefit students wanting to know more.
Okay. Justin, this has been great. I've really enjoyed hearing the results of your survey, and you did like doing it.
Oh, I loved it. Yeah. Thanks for allowing me to do this. Thanks for letting me sit in the last few weeks, and I'll still be coming around to bug you every Wednesday.
That's great. It's been a lot of fun for us too. And really, I hope that we do have some young folks out there listening to the show. I would love to hear from you, yourfinancialchoices.com, and find out what concerns you have, what kind of shows you'd want to listen to or hear. And I would be happy to have a topic on it. And, you know, we can always put Justin on it and have him go research something and come back and do a report for us. Next week, I'm going to have Carrie Pector on the show. We're going to talk about the fiduciary rule many of you hear all of this, again, hype in the news about, oh, the fiduciary rule, the DOL rule, what's going on? You know, most of us don't even know what it is. We don't know if it applies to us. What does it mean? Is it just something to, you know, confuse people? Carrie hopefully is going to tell us more about it and if it affects you and how it affects you. But we do know that it's supposed to be good for you. So we are going to talk about that. We just don't know if it's going to go into plan. I think a judge from Texas maybe just said that they cannot delay it or something. So hopefully Carrie will have more information for us next week on the fiduciary rule. It really revolves around retirement accounts, folks, and the personal advice you're getting, the investment advice that you're getting on those kinds of accounts. So we will have more information on that fiduciary. Hopefully your investment advisor is acting in your best interest as well. So Carrie Pector will be with us next week. I want to thank Justin for being here. Thank Luke Jandel for calling in. Folks can check out his leukemia lymphoma pages through MWOY.org. Lori, thanks. Jeff, thanks. Coming up next, Tom Druckenmiller within the tradition folk music. Remember, pay attention, be proactive, not reactive, and make the best of your financial choices. Have a great week.